Amen. If you would, open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to read verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, and starting verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. Do you have a new life with Jesus Christ this morning? We're going to talk about one specific aspect of it. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. If you are a saved child of God, you have been born again. You've been given a new creature. You've been given a new life. With that new life comes great things. You're going to read Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. When you have a new life from God, you have access to these fruits of the Spirit. And this morning we're going to focus on the joy of the Lord. Do you have the joy of the Lord in your heart this morning? You might think, well, yeah, I'm saved. I'm happy. This is not just generally being happy. It is a joy. It cannot be explained. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance uncorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though ye now see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The joy that God gives you, it is a joy unspeakable. And I tell you this, you know if you have it or not. You know if there's ever been a moment when you have felt this joy unspeakable and full of glory. I love talking to new young converts who get saved because you just listen to them talk about their salvation. The joy that you can feel radiating off of them. Saved child of God, when was the last time you had that joy in your soul? Lost friend, you've never experienced that joy, but you can before this day is over. God is still saving souls. This joy is still acceptable, available to you. The question is, are you willing to accept it? And how can we have this joy? You turn to Romans chapter 5. You know, I said I love talking to young converts, especially those that have been struggling for a while. It brings my heart joy. Now, I don't know if they're truly saved or not. I can't know that for a fact. But you can sometimes tell a demeanor change. Maybe they're really good at lying. Or maybe something's different about them. You go talk to somebody. You know, yesterday at the youth rally, I got to talk to Brother Dakota in Cresswell. I have talked to that man a couple times. He has been miserable a few times I've talked to him. Yesterday, he was as happy as could be. And he, you know, I shook his hand, said hi. He goes, I don't know if you heard, but I got saved. He has the biggest smile on your face. Saved child of God, when was the last time you talked about your salvation and got just overjoyed, got excited? Well, you know, it's been a while since I got, doesn't matter. The joy of God does not get, wane over time. It doesn't get less and less. The question is, maybe have you forgotten that joy that you've had? We're going to go read in a little bit here about David. He needed God to restore the joy of his salvation. When was the last time you had the joy of your salvation restored? Things to think about. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. For if, when ye were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his light. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Understand, that joy only comes from Jesus Christ and what he did on that cross. Turn to Leviticus 16. You know, we read that Jesus Christ and the atonement that he made, that atonement was made when he died on the cross and carried his blood up into the throne of God and laid it down for us. That is why we have this joy here. You go read in somewhere Leviticus. There it is. Leviticus chapter 16. Now, we're not going to read this whole chapter. If you have not read about this Day of Atonement, all that went into it, I encourage you, go read it. It's a special thing. We're going to look at two verses here. Verse 15 and 16. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and to do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat before the mercy seat. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions and all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of the uncleanness. So once a year, the high priest, he took a goat and he killed and made the atonement for the uncleanness of Israel. He sprinkled that blood everywhere. You jump down to verse 17. And the bullock for the sin offering and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make an atonement for the holy place, shall one carry forth without the camp, and they shall burn in the fire their skins and their flesh and their dung. Jump over to Hebrews chapter 13. Understand that under that tabernacle, they had to make that atonement once a year. They would not be right with God without that atonement. It was to pay for their uncleanness. Understand, we don't have to do that anymore because Jesus Christ made the atonement for us. Hebrews 13, verse 10, for we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of the beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the camp. We see here, Jesus Christ suffered that same fate as those goats that did that atonement. Why? So that you can be sanctified, so that you can be saved and set apart to do a work for God, so that you can have the joy of God in your heart today. That is only by and through Jesus Christ. So, lost friend, if you are sitting here wondering why you do not have this joy, you don't understand with that joy unspeakable, you don't understand about the peace that passeth understanding, get saved and you'll understand what that is like. Saved child of God, when was the last time you felt that? You knew that you had that peace. You felt that joy unspeakable. When was the last time you remembered what Jesus Christ did for you and you just said thank you to him for it? If it's been a while, I encourage you, get your heart right and see what that joy is. Get reminded of that because it is, I can speak based off what the Bible says and my own personal experience, it is one of the greatest feelings in the world, that joy unspeakable. You cannot explain it. You know, it passeth understanding what that salvation of Jesus Christ is. How many of us, we know we've felt that before and are okay not feeling it this morning? We are okay coming into the presence of God and knowing that I'm not going to be joyful. I don't have the joy of Christ in my soul, or it's been a long time. I've neglected it, rejected it. I'm like Lot. I've vexed my righteous soul daily. I come into the house of God where I know two or three are gathered together in my name. They're in the midst of him. Know that Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, is in our midst, and we are okay being miserable today. In all places, we can come into the house of God and say, I don't care about what Jesus wants me to have. I'm okay with my misery right now. Lost friend, how many days have you walked into God's house? How many times have you read the Word of God? How many times do you sit there and think about how miserable you are, knowing you're dying and going to hell, and you just ignore the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid his blood so that you don't have to go to hell? Turn to Luke chapter 10. Jesus Christ wants you to have this joy. He wants you to have life. He wants to have it more abundantly. But understand, it is you who will decide if you'll accept it or not. Jesus Christ paid the price. He died on the cross. He did everything for you. You have to be the one that accepts it. He's not going to force it on you. You know, turn to Luke chapter 10, verse 20. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. One of the greatest things to rejoice about is that our names are written in heaven. You go read Matthew 7. He says, depart from me, I never knew you, to the lost. No, if you are saved, Jesus Christ knows your name. And it is written down in heaven forever. That is something to rejoice about. Brother Austin, in his devotional this morning, he talked about singing and rejoicing. If you have nothing else to praise God for, praise God that your name is written in heaven. If you truly are saved. If you can't praise God for that, then I don't know what's wrong with your life. Actually, you probably need to get saved. If you can't praise God for saving your soul and having your name written in heaven, you need to get saved because you are missing out on the joy that God has set before you. I don't care how happy you might seem. You know if you are truly miserable or not. You might seem happy on the outside. You might be like those Pharisees. Outside looks clean as could be. Inside you're full of dead man's bones. I can't tell that difference. I don't know. You know what it is. The question is, do you have the joy of the Lord in your soul today? Turn to Psalm 146. You know, you go read those verses, you know, even in, I love the story of Paul and Silas. I love reading, you know, Corinthians and those things where it talks, Paul talks about, you know, he suffered. He physically suffered. Understand, you go read, I think it's 2 Corinthians 12, even in my weak that I am strong, thy grace is sufficient for me. Even in his worst days, he knew he had God to rely back on. In your life, your worst days, what do you turn to? Well, I turn to, you know, alcohol or booze, or I turn to my phone for distractions. I turn to this world for distractions. No, it should be in your worst days, turn to God and have that joy restored. Turn to God and see, because, you know, Psalm 146, verse 5, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord. If you have hope in the Lord, you should be happy. Now, you don't always have to be smiling on your face and just bursting out with joy like Brother Ryan is all the time. But, you know, have you ever felt this happiness? Are you happy knowing that you go to bed as bad as your life can get? I have God on my side. I'm happy about that fact. You know, turn to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, these verses, they get misused in funerals all the time. This is not talking about after you die. This Psalm 23 is about your life here and now. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I love verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Amen. How many of you this morning can sit there and think, no matter what happens, even though the death or enemies and my death surround me, I know I can cry out to God and he will help me through this. Amen. He will give me joy. He can make the miserable pleasant. You go read it. Again, Brother Austin, he likes to steal my thunder with his devotionals this week. You go read Paul and Silas in jail. They were as miserable. They were beaten. In chains, it was probably cold, they were probably hungry. What were they doing? Singing praises to their God and Savior, because they knew in all of that, happy is the man that hath God of Jacob for his help. Amen. They knew that happy is he that has Jesus Christ on their side. Turn to Psalm 5. If you need to get reminded about the joy of God, go read Psalms. It just wake up one day and start reading Psalms. You'll see the joy that happens in here. Psalm 5, verse 11. But let those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Can you rejoice because God is with you this morning? Can you sing praises? Can you shout for joy? You know, Psalm 107, turn there. Psalm 107, verse 1, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Can you say that God has redeemed you this morning? Can you sing praises to the God and be thankful for the mercy that he has given to you this morning? Because you knew you were surrounded, you were on the road to death and hell, and Jesus Christ redeemed your soul because of what he done. Can you rejoice and say, and make it known that you are redeemed by God this morning? Well, I don't know. I don't know if I can really talk about Jesus that much. I don't want to be looked at as weird. You know what? It doesn't matter if you're looked at as weird. If you're happy and you want to let God know it, sing about it. Sing praises to him. I guarantee you, if you are singing with your heart to God, you know, Psalm 166. Like I said, Brother Austin, you really stole my thunder this morning. Psalm 66, verse 1, make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing unto thy name. If you cannot celebrate and rejoice about those terrible, terrific, wonderful works that God has done, then either one of two things. Either you are ashamed of God, or you have never truly experienced those wonderful works in your life. And neither of those is a good option. Neither of those is an excuse. Well, I haven't felt God's presence. Okay, that's not on God. God is, you know where to find God. He has never left where he's at. It's on you. Or you've just never experienced, and you need to understand and experience what those terrific works of God are. It starts with getting your soul saved. Those that are saved in here, it starts with some revival. Where does that revival happen? It starts in the Word of God and praying to God and getting your heart right with Him. If you can't remember the last time that in pure joy and excitement you cried out to God and with whole heart made a joyful noise unto God, it has been too long. You know, we had song service this morning. I'm not saying, you know, you have to sing as loud as possible, but again, you know if you're singing with your whole heart to God. You know when you're making a joyful noise. I love looking at the kids for kids assembly. You get those kids, they are singing as loud and as proud as they can. When was the last time you as an adult sang as loud and as proud as you could because you know that Jesus Christ saved your soul and you're rejoicing in Him this morning? And I'm not talking about putting on a show. Don't put on a show. Don't put on a show, you know, tonight during song service. Don't sit there and sing really loud because Brother Jared preached about it. No, make it real with you. I'm not listening. I have to worry about my own voice singing. I don't care about anybody else's. You know if you're singing with your heart to God. You know if you can truly rejoice and be glad. And I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. How many of you, when you show up to church, you are glad to be here because the joy of the Lord is filling up inside of you because you get to meet your God and your Savior here today. Again, if you can't remember the last time that's happened, it has been far too long. You need to get something figured out. Turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Oftentimes, the reason why God's people are not joyful is because our heart is not right with God. Because we need to get our hearts right. Psalm 51, verse 7. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Understand the psalmist here, David, he was not scared that he was going to lose his salvation. He was scared that he was going to lose the Holy Spirit with him. He was going to lose that fellowship with God. He was scared that God would say, I don't want you fellowshipping with me anymore. He was scared he wasn't going to get that joy of his salvation back. Why? Turn to Samuel, 2 Samuel 11. Start in verse 2. And it came to pass in the evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and said and told David, and said, I am with child. And David sent to Joab, saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was come unto him, David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered. And David said unto Uriah, go down to thy house and wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the house, the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with the servants, and the Lord went not down to his house. And when they had told David, saying, Uriah went not down into his house, David said unto Uriah, camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down into thy house? And Uriah said unto David, the ark and the Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in what open fields. Shall I then go into my house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing. Then said David to Uriah, tarry here today also, and tomorrow I will let thee depart. So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and on the morrow. And then David had called him, he did eat and drink before him and made him drunk. And even when he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his Lord, but went down not down to his house. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote the letter saying, set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and retire ye from him that he may be smitten and die. Jump down to verse 24. And the shooter shot from off the wall upon thy servant, and some of the king's servants be dead, and thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. David, he was a man after God's own heart. He was saved at this point. He had done some great things for God. What happened? He got caught up in his own sin. He got caught up in the lust of the flesh. And then when that happened, he tried to lie and cover it up. And at the end of the day, when all was said and done, he committed murder. Yeah. You know, we always talk about Uriah. Yes, he murdered Uriah. It says there were some other men that died too. David got a lot of blood on his hands in that moment. He was still a saved child of God. He was in no threat of losing his salvation. But he knew he was wrong with God. He knew God was no longer with him. You go read chapter 12, starting verse 13. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child that is born unto thee shall surely die. David suffered a lot of things in this moment. He had the guilt and shame of committing murder. You go read, I encourage you, go read Chronicles a little bit. See who this Uriah was. He wasn't just some random guy. David's mighty men of valor, Uriah the Hittite, is listed in him. This was a close personal friend of David, a man that laid down his life for David many a times. David just committed murder. He got caught up in his sin. He got to the point, you turn over to Psalm 51. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. What took away the joy of his salvation? Verse 3, for I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Verse 2, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. His sin, David's own sin, is what took that joy of the Lord away from him. How many of you this morning know you have sin in your life that has robbed you of the joy of your salvation, and you are unwilling to get it taken care of? Well, I'm not as bad as David, so it's okay. You know what? David started with a little sin, and it got worse and worse and worse. You know, there's an old saying, sin will take you farther than you ever thought you would. You don't know how far your sin is going to keep carrying you. I do know that it is very easy to get to the point where David was at to commit murder. It is very easy to get bogged down in sin and walk away from God. Well, you know, it's okay. I can handle it. You know how many people have said they could handle it and ended up just like David? How about Israel? Moses went on the mount for less than 40 days, and they started making a golden calf after God led them out of Egypt. Literally did all those plagues, parted the water. They crossed the Red Sea. Moses went on a mountain. They were afraid to go on the mountain because of the presence of God. And while that presence was still there, they made a golden calf. You really think that you're so great and strong that sin, you know how to handle your own sin? No. The only way is to get your heart right with God and have him take that sin away from you, to ask for forgiveness of him. Turn to Ezekiel 18. If you have something that has robbed you of the joy of your salvation, that you can't remember the last time you felt that joy of God, that unspeakable joy, that you were able to rejoice, you had that peace of God in you, you can't remember the last time you were revived, this morning is a great time to get your heart right to God. If you're sitting there, you know it, then great, you admitted you have a problem. Then you need to repent of that problem. Get rid of it. Turn from God. Turn to him. Ezekiel 18, verse 27. Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed, and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. Because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Yet saith the house of Israel, thy way of the Lord is not equal. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal? Are not your ways unequal? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord. Whereof turn yourselves and live ye. Understand, God does not enjoy punishment. God does not enjoy when people are wrong with him. You know what God enjoys? To have mercy and forgiveness. He enjoys when his people cry out to him. Turn to Psalm 51 once again. Psalm 51, verse 16, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Understand, God wants you to repent. He wants you to get your heart right. Why do you think when he died on the cross, he paid for all of your sin? Not just so that you can be saved, so that the sin you commit after you are saved, you can be forgiven of that too. Why do you think he did that? Because he likes to judge us and be angry and evil? No. It's because he loves you and he wants you to have mercy. He wants you to be right with him. He wants a sweet fellowship with you. Yeah. Why do you think he made Adam and Eve in the garden? To walk with them, to have fellowship with them. Lost friend, why do you think he keeps convicting you over and over and over again? Because he wants you to have fellowship with him. Yeah. Say, child of God, why do you think you're so miserable and you hear the conviction? understand, if you are being convicted of something, it means you need to get something figured out. Conviction is not just some random thing that you're supposed to ignore. When you get, you know, turn to Acts 8. Acts 8. Stephen, he preached a great message. He called, you know, these great men of Israel, these priests, these Pharisees, he called them out for a lot of things. In verse 54, and when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. That cut to the heart, they were convicted. Why? Because Stephen preached, and they knew they were wrong in what they did. If you are being convicted, cut to the heart, guess what? It means you need to get something figured out. If you are lost, it means you need to be saved. If you are saved, it means there's something that you are doing that you need to stop doing, to repent, to turn from that and turn to God. Well, I haven't sinned. I've done a great job. Just right there. You got a little bit of pride. That's something to repent of. Constantly repenting, constantly in sorrow, constantly bowing down to God. You know, it says pray without ceasing. Why? Because you are a sinner and you sin a lot. You constantly need to go to God for repentance. Why do you think that altar of incense was burning so often? Because they often, why do you think that brazen altar was never supposed to really die out when the tabernacle was pitched? Why? Because there was constant need for repentance. Yeah. Say, child of God, you are in constant need of repentance. You constantly need God on your side. What do? Well, you get into the Word of God, you see where you stand in need, and you pray and you get your heart right. Well, I don't know. Get into the Word of God more. Understand, the only thing that's going to change your life is not my words, it's not some words of somebody else, it is the Word of God. Amen. The only thing that has ever changed anybody's life eternally is the Word of God. There are great words that men speak. They might change your thinking, your philosophy. They will not do a single thing for you spiritually unless it is the Word of God. That is what you need. So understand, if you hear the Word of God and something is convicting you, you need to get your heart right. Turn to Acts 8. Acts 8, verse 22. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may pray and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Well, you might not, I don't know. I don't know if God can forgive me another time. Well, repent and pray to God, and perhaps. What if he's willing to give you another chance? Lost friend, if you're sitting here thinking, I've tried too much, God can't save me. I've tried, it's failed. Why not give it one more try? And full repentance to God. Don't try to get saved. Do what God says. Repent and pray to him. Cry out to God. What if he's willing to forgive you that time? What if he's willing to give you one more opportunity? How often do we shortchange God and think, he's not going to give me... We don't know what God is willing to do. We don't know the limit he's willing to draw. Amen. Repent and pray, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Turn to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Turn to Psalm 86. We just read that God is plenteous in mercy. You go read Lamentations 3:22. The Lord's mercies are new every morning. You really think that God, you can overuse God's mercies? God's mercies is more abundant than you can even comprehend. We can't fully understand God's mercies. You read Psalm 86, verse 5. For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. Turn to Psalm 130. Psalm 130, verse 1. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all their iniquities. Understand, he names Israel. Those promises are still available to us today. That hope in the Lord, for the Lord is mercy, and he is plenteous, and with him is plenteous redemption. He shall redeem Israel from all their iniquities. That promise is still to you. That promise of he can redeem you from all your iniquities. He can save your soul. He can forgive you from all your sins. But what does it take? A repentant heart crying out to God. A broken and a contrite spirit God will not despise. That's what it takes. So maybe you've cried out to God, but you haven't done it the way he says. Well, I sit there and I pray and I cry out to God. Have you let it go? Have you repented? Have you truly humbled yourself in the eyes of God, see who you are with God, and cried out to him with your whole heart, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Understand, David wouldn't have got his heart right with God, would not have the joy of his salvation restored, if he didn't 100% cry out to God, fully broken, understanding who he is. If you're holding anything back from God, don't expect him to forgive you. Cry with your whole heart. Seek after him with your whole heart. That means nothing leaving back. By the way, repentance isn't partially turning and holding on to a little bit. I'm going to turn from my sin, but I'm going to hold on to this little last little bit. I'm drugging along. That's not repentance. God says you have to repent to be forgiven. To repent, you fully turn from and turn to God. When was the last time you fully repented? Let's all stand. Turn to Isaiah 56. Pianist and song leader, come. Isaiah 56, verse 6. And also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord, to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. God wants all people to come to him, to cry out to God. He wants them, I love this, verse 7, I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. He wants all people to come to him, to cry out to him. He wants all of them to feel joyful, to have peace, to be able to cry out to God, to have fellowship with him. Are you able to have fellowship with God this morning? If you are lost, God does not know your name. You cry out to him, he will save your soul and he will know who you are. Saved child of God, when was the last time you felt the joy of your salvation? When was the last time you cried out to God, you got your heart right and you knew, I am glad to be in the house of God forever because I have fellowship with my God and creator this morning. If you have not remembered the last time, if you can't tell me the last time that you got your heart right with God, right now is a perfect opportunity. What number shall we sing?